This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this Sunday broadcast, RTR Truth Media on the radio, our Resurrect the Republic radio show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are going to be premiering this content also on YouTube a little bit later with some added content. So for those of you out there that are joining us via premiere or live stream, welcome to the broadcast. Also, those of you out there that want to go to the chat, that would be the resurrectrepublic.chatango chat room. We welcome you there, too. Also, don't forget us on Twitter, at Tom Lacovara, our BitChute channel, where stuff doesn't get taken down and destroyed. Today, we're going to be talking about Jeff Winehouse, a new update on Jeff Winehouse, by the way. For those of you that aren't familiar, in a few minutes, I'm going to be rolling a clip that that I brought to the attention to Jeff Winehouse, as well as Schaefer Cox and a couple other cases, to Brian Young at High Impact Flicks, who I absolutely appreciate. I thank him for shedding more light onto this situation with Jeff and Schaefer Cox, and we're going to be working together more in the future, advocating for more political prisoners that have been absolutely wrongfully thrown in jail. America needs to wake up. We are living in the modern day police state, and they pick on the people first that people don't usually generally protect. What's that old saying? They came for this guy, but I wasn't one of them, so I didn't defend him. And they came for this guy. Well, now they're coming for me, and there's nobody left to defend me. Well, that's what's going on right now. Also, we're going to have on the show today, Thomas Mick is going to be joining me and adding some of his commentary. and he's just as mad as I am about all this. This is just crazy stuff. First, I want to tell you guys, go to rtrtruthmedia.com. The latest article that we published was on the Houston police situation where they lied to get the search warrant, proceeded to murder a family dog and the homeowners. Now, there's a lot of talk about this case. The gun that the homeowner allegedly used to shoot four of the police officers who had, I reiterate, lied to get the search warrant, thus making anything that happens out of that should be demicide, homicide, and charged as such. But apparently the gun is missing. So the question is did Tuttle actually fire on police, or did the front door and the back door raid end up shooting each other in a turkey shoot? Really, it doesn't know, because the dog was shot first. That shot could have triggered who knows what, an OK Corral style. We don't know that. I have somebody who is in Houston that's working on getting me that information and trying to dig through that. And, of course, we're going to be filing a FOIA as well. So now on to the Jeff Winehouse case. First, for those of you who still may be unfamiliar or may be new listeners, I want to roll the clip that Brian prepared. It's a very short clip giving you the background. It is going to be a little bit visual, because the clip is in a video and audio context. So you just bear with us because we are going to be sharing this later in Premiere on video. So it's important that we do it this way. So I want you to hear the details about this. It's a short clip, and then we're going to get into what is now a new update. The advocate in his case, now the guy that goes to see him, Matt Thompson, was arrested because Jeff Winehouse was thrown into the hole weeks ago. After a couple weeks and contacting his attorney, the attorney couldn't get a hold of Jeff. Nobody's talked to him. Nobody could get any answers. He goes to the prison on visiting day to get answers from the warden and ends up being arrested at Hardee's after he leaves. There's a long story to that. But here, let me roll this clip for you, for those of you that are unfamiliar with the Winehouse case. Go ahead and roll.
Good, how are you?
You got the gun for him.
Why I got the gun? Why you got the gun for?
Because I'm an authorized.
All right, well, I'm authorized to
get down on the ground.
Get on the ground.
Get down on the ground.
You're going to have to shoot me, man.
He's still got the gun, Scott.
I got him. Yeah, police, FBI, Highway Patrol.
The footage you're watching was taken from a spy camera worn by Jeff Winehouse on September 11, 2012, as he was stepping out of his car to meet Missouri State Highway Patrol and FBI agents to recover his computer that was stolen by these policy enforcers under false pretenses. But let's just call it what it is. Attempted murder in broad daylight. The meeting itself took place at a remote gas station and was a ruse to lure Winehouse to that gas station so that he could be arrested on bogus drug charges. 13 seconds after Winehouse stepped out of his car, he was shot 4 times. 2 times in the head and 2 times in the chest with .40 caliber hollow point bullets. Miraculously, he survived. He had a weapon holstered on his left side, but he never drew it. And he never tried to draw it. Winehouse is now wrongfully serving a 30-year prison sentence for assault on a law enforcement officer. The officer who shot him, Sergeant Henry James Folsom of the Missouri State Highway Patrol, testified in court that Winehouse pulled his gun, therefore he had to shoot him. There was overwhelming evidence at the time of the trial to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Winehouse was innocent. But neither his attorney nor the prosecutor entered that evidence at trial. He was denied due process and adequate counsel and was falsely convicted. His crime? Exposing government corruption. For a decade before he was shot, Winehouse was an active member in his community with a strong voice against local political corruption and advocated standing up for individual rights. He produced a political newsletter and videos under the name Bulletin Man, challenging corruption and trying to build a better community. Many local businesses showed their support for him by running ads in his newsletter and stocking copies to distribute to patrons. In the summer of 2012, Mr. Winehouse ran an ad in the local paper asking for information on corrupt officials and activities. He got about 200 responses. They were all stored on his computers, which along with other equipment, he used to produce his literature. During this time, he was running for county coroner in an attempt to open up 2 old cases that he had reason to believe carried some dark implications. The county coroner has the power to arrest and even replace the county sheriff if necessary when illegal activities are uncovered. On August 16, 2012, Winehouse released a video urging corrupt officials to change their ways or step down. But of course, his outspoken views didn't sit well with some higher-ups. On August 22, 2012, 2 Missouri State Highway Patrol officers, Sergeant Henry Folsom and Corporal Scott Mertens, were supposedly sent to find Winehouse and feel out his intentions in the video, as well as his level of threat to himself or others. They spoke with Winehouse outside his home office about the video. He explained his political platform and intentions in making it. He said he was pushing to reform broken systems and corruption, not advocating violence. Sergeant Folsom then asked Winehouse if he would surrender his computer equipment so they could look him over. After Winehouse denied that request, Sergeant Folsom claimed that he smelled marijuana. His partner, Corporal Mertens, testified that he didn't smell anything. Folsom said he was leaving and coming back with a drug search warrant. He came back 4 hours later, and lo and behold, what did they take? But Winehouse's computer equipment. It was this equipment that Winehouse was going to recover from Folsom at the gas station. But this was nothing but a ploy to arrest Winehouse on trumped-up drug charges because they claimed to have found a small amount of marijuana and a prescription pill in the basement when they were stealing his computer. Basically, this guy was exposing corruption in his town, the officials in that town wanted to continue operating their criminal activity in darkness, and now Winehouse is serving a 30-year prison sentence after having done nothing wrong. Are we really going to sit back and allow corrupt government officials to literally get away with murder and attempted murder and theft? Are we going to let our fellow Americans continue to get trampled under the boot of tyranny? How many innocent people are sitting in prison right now? How many innocent people have to die before we get off our asses and do
something? How many more people? It's heartbreaking. So let me give you a little bit of what's going on now. Matt Thompson, man, it just breaks my heart. He and his wife had to apply to be able to get to visit Jeff and all that. Then in the end, they could only approve one of them. I don't know why. These are the rules of the state that they're in there. But they could only approve one of them. So Matt went ahead and he was approved to be a visitor. So after a couple weeks of not getting any answers and the prison telling them, well, we owe you no explanation. We don't have to tell you why he's in the hole. We don't have to tell you why he's under investigation. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Winehouse is a model prisoner. I hate using that term, but you know what I mean when I say that. He doesn't create any problems. The only problems he creates is for government investigating corruption. He was running for office to try and make a positive change, and at the same time operating a journalistic activist style exposing corruption type of they call him Bulletin Man. Okay, so he's a journalist that they seized his computers, and then rather than calling him and telling him to come to the police station once they have to give these things back to him. Rather than calling him and asking him to come to the police station where there's cameras and there's accountability, they tell him to meet him at a gas station somewhere to return his equipment to him. Really funny is that the FBI was sitting across the street, who also, by the way, testified that they never saw him pull any kind of a gun, which he didn't. I want you to think about this for a second for any detractors that might say, well, he reached for his gun and then the cop shot him. Unless the police officer that shot him twice in the head and twice in the chest was some sort of modern-day gunslinger. Reaching for a gun, his gun already had to be out to be able to shoot him that many times if he just reached to go to pull the gun. Think about this for a minute. You're standing face-to-face with the cop who's asking you, well, why do you have a gun? Well, because it's an open carry state. I'm allowed to have a gun. And he says, get down on the ground. He's like, I'm not going to get down on the ground. You're going to have to shoot me, man. And boom, 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 immediately. Okay? So let's just say, for argument's sake, he reached for the gun. How is it that they managed to pull off two in the head and two in the chest before he could even get it out? That would lend the only explainable situation to that is that they already had their guns out. If that were even true, which it isn't, we have footage in FBI testimony that says he never pulled his gun. But if, just for argument's sake, if he had reached for his gun, I would have to submit that guns were already drawn on him because that would be the only thing that would make sense. And therefore, if they were, he hadn't been committing a crime. Sorry, but he would have been justified there too. So there is no justifiable explanation why he gets two in the head, two in the chest, somehow miraculously manages to survive, and now is thrown in the hole. His lawyer, who I don't even know who this guy is or why he can't get a hold of him, no matter who you're in the hole or not, your lawyer is supposed to have access to you, period. Unless you're being held under the Patriot Act, which that opens up a whole new can of worms. Whole new can of worms. Anyway, I have joining me today Thomas Mick, a good longtime friend of mine and open criticizer of this modern day Stasi police state. Tom, are you with me?
Yeah.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, man. I'm so frustrated. You know, I'm going to be calling the prison Monday. And by the way, for those of you who want to do that, don't call the prison and start name calling the warden and calling him Blue Isis and all that stuff. You will only bring the wrath of the prison down upon Jeff's head. You may make yourself feel better, but you're not going to be doing Jeff any favor. So I'm going to be calling the prison on Monday and speaking to whoever I can to try and get answers. Thomas, your analysis on this situation, sir?
Well, to be absolutely honest, until I was invited to be on the show, I knew very little about Jeff's predicament. I have done some reading up on it since then. I started out as a constitutionalist, as you may know, Thomas.
Me too.
And more of a conservative than anything else. When I first started out, I was in the Christian paradigm, and
me too.
I quoted the Constitution and the Bible in my writings prolifically. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, my first focus was on the oath of office. That was I was trying to get government officers in the government to examine their oath and reevaluate their conduct based on it, and that totally failed, because most of the people could care less what their oath meant. They're just career oriented, and they're there for the paycheck or for the prestige or whatever.
Yeah.
But now I am a dyed-in-the-wool art anarchist. So I view what happened to Jeff. That was a hit, and the governor was in on it just like the cops. That man never had a chance. They set up that meeting, in my opinion, to kill that man. Unfortunately, or fortunately for Jeff, and unfortunately for the thugs, they were not that good a shot.
No, they were. They were good shots. They were good shots. They hit him twice in the head and twice in the chest. They hit him, but by the grace of God or whatever else, he survived.
And by the way, twice in the head and twice in the center mass is pretty much an execution, wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that he was lured there to do exactly. He was exposing corruption. They could not be exposed. These people, look, there are some, you know, and I'm with you with, you know, I was a constitutionalist and I still believe in the ideals of the Bill of Rights, right? I'm an anti-federalist, so do you. But I like you, have gotten to the point, and a lot of the people that we hang out in this it's kind of a hangout with the high impact flicks community. I'm in agreement with them at this point that, you know, the Constitution is either failed or there are just not enough people who care enough to do enough to stand by the principles in the Bill of Rights to stop this police Stasi police state. And I it sickens me. How can I give my allegiance to an entity that allows things like Schaefer Cox and Jeff Winehouse and you know, the whole Bundy situation and all these things to happen, and these government officials nearly never get prosecuted or taken to account. Like in the case with the Bundy trial, there was destruction of evidence, there was willful withholding of evidence, there was open and blatant bias in and among the investigation. The Wooten letter exposed it, basically a kill list. And what happens to this prosecutor? He should have been thrown in prison. Prison.
Yeah.
It's treason.
Now they're trying to throw Bundy back in court, and with Navarro presiding, which is just, it's an absolute total travesty of justice. And they dismissed those charges with prejudice, which means that they cannot be revisited. And yet they're actually considering doing it anyway. So the rules don't apply to them.
If you listen to Q, trust the plan, though, right?
I submit to you that the Constitution has never been enforceable, unfortunately. They tried to remedy that in 1791 with the Second Amendment, but I don't think most Americans got the clue.
Well, I agree with you, because how can you... It's the same thing like police investigating themselves, right? You have a constitution that has a Bill of Rights. The Second Amendment says this shall not be infringed. But then you place the check and balance. Now you place that check and balance in the hands of the same entity that's supposed to restrict itself. And it's just like a police department investigating itself when it's rife with corruption. You know, it's become more or less a joke. Shall not be infringed, asterisk, terms and conditions may apply, is not how I read it.
Yeah. You know, I bring this up fairly often now when I get people that are still statists that point out that government can do, you know, reasonable limitations, you know, because, you know, you can't let a lunatic, you know, carry a gun. You can't let a felon carry a gun who, you know, and the state determines what a felon is.
Well, that's
and
the problem.
State determines who a lunatic is. I mean, the founding fathers, justly so, when they wrote the Second Amendment, had no exception. It says very clearly and plainly, even so a lawyer can understand it, shall not be infringed, which right. means that there is no such thing as an illegal weapon of any kind in the hands of the American people. And I insist that they go into back to natural law, that the natural right to keep and bear arms applies to everybody in the world.
Absolutely.
So they have no right to restrict, you know, our arms in any manner, shape, or form.
I'm going to say something a little bit outrageous to enhance that point, Thomas. Not only does it cover every single man and woman in the world, but it also covers people who have done their penance. If you get convicted of a crime and you pay your debt to society, when you hit that door, your debt is paid. Now here's the problem.
Correct.
And this is where I wanted to make a difference here. If you are seriously that much of a threat, you shouldn't be free. So if you go and indiscriminately murder somebody, you know, unprovoked, actually commit homicide and murder somebody, no, I don't think that you should ever have a gun again if you openly know. But I think you should be in prison. If you are that much of a threat and cannot be trusted in society, that's what they made the rope for. Back in the old days, they didn't deal with all that nonsense.
Exactly. If you are convicted by a jury of your peers, a fully informed jury of your peers.
A fully informed,
And you are convicted, either that or you confess in open court to murder, which is not the same as killing, by the way. In other words, you initiated violence against somebody without cause, and you killed them. And in that case, you forfeit your life. Because if you'll do that in that instance, there is no guarantee that if they release you, you won't do it again.
Right. I wanted to clarify that, because what I'm talking about is now the concept of the felony. Now, there are people out there like, and I hate this, you know, I've come to hate this term, law abiding. I just released a report just yesterday about a man in California who went to register his guns and, like, you know, trying to follow the law. And by registering his guns, now he has the California Department of Justice show up at his door and confiscate the very instruments that he registered, which, you know, I try and tell everybody, you owe them nothing. These laws are unconstitutional. They're treason. You don't owe them this. You should not go and be registering, because, look, you know, even the liberals said, you know, the registration process and all of that doesn't lead to confiscation. Well, this is being proven a blatant lie right in the public space, and nobody's doing anything about that either. So this concept of the felony, the gentleman that went to go see Jeffrey Winehouse, he goes to see him and you know, as I'm going to share in this presentation at some point, he goes to see this man. He questions why he's in the hole. He wants some answers. And he's entitled to him. He's a member of the public. These people that are working at this jail in behalf of the state are supposedly, even though they're continuing the same pattern of unjust violence against people who are, you know, have no victim, so they've committed no crime, but they are still public servants. They're being paid by tax dollars. And for them to turn around and say, well, we don't owe you any explanation, is not only the opposite of transparency, but then they follow him out and he ends up leaving. He goes to a restaurant. He's sitting in the restaurant, and they come in and they arrest him. It takes him 3 hours to figure out what they're going to charge him with. And then they charge him with a felony for threatening the warden. This guy is the nicest guy in the world. He's, I never threatened anybody. The only threat that I gave him is that I was going to call the governor. He never threatened anybody with my. How much of a nutcase would you have to be to stand in the lobby of a prison and threaten a warden? And if that were the case, why wasn't he taken into custody at the jail? Why did they wait and concoct
this
story?
Because it's a lie.
Of course.
Because
of course.
It's a lie.
So he's now charged with a felony. So that now that he's charged with a felony, God forbid he's found guilty of that felony. Now he can't have guns either. They're systematically trying to disarm anybody who criticizes government, which the foundational principle of the First Amendment was so that we could criticize government, and the foundational principle for the Second Amendment was so that we could back up the First with the force if need be if they tried to silence us. And now they're calling that domestic terrorism.
They're not only silencing dissent as much as they possibly can, they're also confiscating our firearms now, openly.
You mean our arms?
The legislature is, the legislature is passing laws now that make all previously, quote, legal, unquote, weapons illegal. So now they're going around rounding up anybody now possesses
facto
and has registered. Yes. So, no, but see, none of that is legal. None of that is lawful. Not a damn bit of it. I did a video yesterday. I was pretty ticked.
I'm aware.
There is no such thing as an illegal firearm in the hands, or not of any weapon, in the hands of the American people. Period. It's enshrined in the Constitution. Everybody claims is in place. I submit to you. Like Lysander Spooner, that the Constitution is of none effect because it's unenforceable.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it is. It would be able to be enforceable, but they're going after the very people that are trying to do that too. Like the sheriffs, there are sheriffs all over the place, and Brian just did a piece on this. I've done pieces on some of these sheriffs that understand their authority. And they're willing to take a stand and be that check and balance. See, the whole concept of the check and balance process, the office of the sheriff, it's like this, and people fundamentally don't understand the concept of checks and balances anymore. The sheriff is not there to do anything but to preserve and protect the rights of his constituents who elect him. That means any assault upon them, whether it come from within, a neighbor tries breaking into somebody's house, or whether it come from the federal government or even the state government, that sheriff's job is to make sure that the rights of the individual are protected. And now they've turned these sheriff's departments, one systematically, one after another, into just another corporate law enforcement agency, you know, doing the whole revenue generation thing. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. They've turned it into, but some of these sheriffs understand, and they're fighting back.
But their hands are tied because
of course
you have county commissioners. You have everybody surrounding them that's just programmed into the present paradigm, which is a corporatism. It isn't government at all.
No.
You keep using the term public servants. There are no public servants.
Well, no, that's what
they
the propaganda. That's the propaganda that it is. That, you know, the servant. Here's another thing I have a real big argument with. Every time a so-called public official says that the police are there to protect you, they're to protect the neighborhoods, they got servant protect on the sides of the cars, the Supreme Court has been absolutely crystal clear and have made no bones about it. These law enforcement agents are revenue agents. They have absolutely no duty to protect you, according to the U.S. Supreme Court. We have to take a break. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, RTR Truth Media, Resurrect the Republic radio show on RBN.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
RTR Truth Media Radio Show, Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Thank you to all our listeners, especially those out there who are going to be watching this premiere. Thank you to all of you for tuning in and caring. We're going to be adding all of the links to this presentation. Both I'll have them entered into the archive, as well as our premiere on YouTube, BitChute, all that other business, so that you can become proactive. Start calling people. Start calling your state representatives. Start doing something to bring attention. This is the system that we have, so we have to use what we have right now to bring attention to the Jeff Whitehouse situation. Now, what you're about to hear, Thomas, and I wish you, if you can, stay with me through this. I don't know exactly how long this is going to be, but there is first there was a call out just the other day of Matt Thompson's arrest for going when he went to go see Jeffrey Winehouse. And I want to share that with people so that they can hear that. Note he has been released since then, but I want you to hear this plea. Listen to what's going on in real time. Go ahead and roll.
And the don't even know where to begin. Jeff Winehouse is also known as Bulletin Man, and he in September of 2012, Jeff was the highway patrol in Missouri attempted to murder him. And after he was shot twice in the head and twice in the chest by Henry Folsom, who was a Missouri highway patrolman, after they had illegally confiscated his computers that he used to make these bulletins that were trying to expose corruption in Franklin County, Missouri, and its surrounds. So after Jeff recovered, and Jeff was praying to God on his way to get his computers back. That was the pretense that they used in order to get Jeff to an MFA station in Missouri. And Jeff prayed to God and said, whatever they have in mind, please protect me. Please let it not be effective. It worked. Imagine being shot twice in the head and twice in the chest. And you survive. And he did, I believe, by the grace of God. Approximately November, that was in September, approximately November, they arrest Jeff and charge him with attacking the police officers. Jeff was tried and convicted and sentenced to 30 years in prison. And he's sitting in Bonterre, Missouri, in a prison in Bonterre. He had a video watch on at the time, and that shows that he never threatened the police. There were two FBI agents on site. Both of them were deposed and said that Jeff open carried. He had a gun on his left hip, but they deposed that Jeff had never reached for his weapon. Within 13 seconds of Jeff exiting his car, supposedly to get his computers back, he was on the ground laying in his own blood. So when we found out about the case, now living in Missouri, when we found out about Jeff's situation, we both applied to be able to visit Jeff in prison. And last October, we had put our applications in many weeks before, and it turned out that he was only allowed, like he has a list of approved visitors, and he was only allowed to have one of us. So Matt went ahead and did the visitation with Jeff. And Matt's been going down regularly. It's about a 2-hour and 45-minute drive from Columbia, where we live. And Matt goes down there and visits Jeff regularly. Visiting days are Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Matt usually goes down on a Friday or Saturday. All of that's backstory. So 2 Fridays ago, Matt went down to Bonterre to see Jeff, and they told Matt that he couldn't see him because they had put Jeff in the hole. Now, Jeff has been a model prisoner. He's a really good guy, and nobody would tell Matt why he's in the hole, and Matt was not allowed to see him. So 2 weeks down the track, Matt's been trying to call, trying to find out what's going on, and hasn't got any answers. There are no politicians who will touch it. There is nobody, the attorney general, nobody's responsible for anything. So today, Matt left home at 5:30 to drive down to Bonterre, and he went to the prison, and they told him that Jeff was still in the hole. Now, Jeff's been in for 14 days. We don't know if Jeff is even alive. He's been in the hole for 14 days. He has not been able to talk to his attorney. His attorney's not been able to talk to him. He has not been in contact with family or friends. And Matt physically went down there today to try to figure out what was going on. And the prison told him he couldn't see. I've just spoken to Matt. The prison told him that he couldn't see Jeff, and he couldn't know why Jeff was in the hole. And finally, Matt said, I'm not going to leave until I know, until I have some answers. And he's standing for Jeff. He's standing for somebody who can't stand for himself. And Matt said, I want to speak to the warden. And finally, the warden came out. And Matt said this evening on the phone, he said, it was incredible. It's like they're letting you know that they're going to lie, and they're laughing in your face saying, what are you going to do about it? Anyway, the warden told him that he needed to leave. And Matt said, I want to know how Jeff is and why he's in the hole. Anyway, the warden said he was going to call the Bonterre police. Bonterre is Bonterre, Bonterre, Missouri. It's a state-run prison. And anyway, Matt left, and he said he got to the edge of the property of the prison, and a guy chased him out there and stopped him and said, you haven't left fast enough. And he said, I'm just going to let you off with a warning. So at that point, I'm teaching school. At that point, Matt texted me and said, I just about got arrested, but I didn't. I don't think they'll ever let me see Jeff Winehouse again. And his lawyer is as bad as the warden. And so anyway, I don't know, about an hour later or so, Matt was on the phone with Valerie Winehouse. And by the way, that's who Jeff was on the phone to when he had his, he was on the phone to Valerie when he was shot. And he went to a Hardee's, and Matt went to a Hardee's, and he was on the phone to Valerie, and the police showed up, and I guess they showed up en masse, and he was about to tell it to me on the phone this evening, and he stopped and he said, I'll have to tell you about it later. So I don't know who was there. And anyway, they arrested Matt, and they're holding him in the St. Francis County Jail. And the Bonterre City Police are the ones that arrested him. And apparently there's only one jail in the county. So it wasn't the county people that arrested him. It was the city. But now he's being held at the St. Francis County Jail. His Suburban was parked at Hardee's. And I found out today that they've towed it, which was totally unnecessary. I asked Matt if they hurt him when they arrested him, and he said, not really. He said they put those handcuffs on tight and then they put you in the back seat, and it's very uncomfortable, but he says, no big deal. And I said, have they fed you? And he said, yeah, they fed me a bologna sandwich. But he said, this is just, they do lots of little things to show that they're in charge. And he says, so they fed me a bologna sandwich, but they put water on the bread. They made the bread wet. So anyway, Valerie is the one that called me at school, called me out of my class, and let me know that they had arrested him. He was on the phone with her when they did. And she said, I heard him say, what are you arresting me for? What are you charging me with? And Matt said, they won't tell me what they're charging me with. And then the phone, they hung up. They called me, and I said, no, I had a text from him that said, He wasn't arrested. And she said, no, this is since then. So they chased him down. They went to the Hardee's and chased him down after he had left. And so when I called down there, they told me that he was charged with harassment and trespass. And then bond was set at $7,500. But I don't know how it all works, but he was going to get out within 24 hours anyway. So we don't have, you know, it's just better to wait the 24 hours rather than spending even, you know, anyway, I know how it works, but we don't have $7,500. So anyway, there are lots of good people in the world, a lot of good people in the world who don't understand that we are living in a police state. And Jeff Winehouse is in prison for 30 years, and Schaefer Cox is in prison for almost 27 years, and there are lots of other innocent men in prison who were in. And I know that the question good people ask, people don't believe this. People don't believe that our situation in the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, the land of the free, this cannot happen. And Jeff Winehouse must have done something wrong. Schaefer Cox must have done something wrong. Otherwise, that wouldn't happen. Not in America. It's happening, people. And my husband was arrested today for trying to stand up for a person who can't stand for himself. And we can all keep living our happy lives. We can all keep ignoring what's going on. But I'm telling you, it's going on, and it's going to happen just bit by bit by bit. And our kids are going to end up in the incinerator. We keep saying, oh, just comply. As long as you do what the police tell you to do, it's all fine. Guys, I am not pro-police. I am not pro-Black Lives Matter. Every individual case has its merits, and it should be measured on by its merits. But we have a problem in this country. And until good people are willing to open their eyes to reality, to the fact that we have political prisoners in the United States of America, we've got a problem. We have to stand. And I do believe that if you are a member of government, if you are a member of a police force, and I know we've had good men, good police officers that have been killed because they were about to testify against their fellow police officers. I know how hard it is. And I know about having to provide for a family and wanting to just go along to get along so you can keep your life going. I understand. I get it. But we're headed for trouble. And until good people are willing to stand, we're in trouble.
All right, you can pause it right there. Amazing to me, as it is, you know, we are living in a modern day police state. Now, since then, since this was aired, Matt Thompson has been freed, and he got out and he did an immediate live stream to explain the circumstances of his arrest and what happened. And that's going to be the next segment, and then we're going to close up with a couple comments from Thomas and I. And I also want to just take a moment to thank Thomas for joining me. Thank you for joining me for this, Tom. This is really one of the most upsetting cases that I think that there is out there, and people need to be really aware. So anyway, let's roll Matt Thompson. This is now Matt Thompson. He was just released, and this was his take on it. Go ahead and continue that audio. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable stuff. Oh, that was the full end? Okay. Well, I'll edit it in later. I thought that I had the full. That was the end of that segment, by the way. Okay. Well, somehow the Matt's got edited out, so I'll add that for the premiere after show. Also, you can go to my Facebook page and you can check it out. It's posted on my Facebook page. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who've been sending me, I have 416 post requests for Facebook and tons of messages on Facebook Messenger. It's just I've not been using Facebook except just to post articles and stories. And I have it only now on one device that I usually shut off and throw in a Faraday. I'm sick of the whole social engineering experiment they have going on. So Thomas, are you still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened is I'll run a little synopsis on what his story was. He comes out of the prison after questioning the warden and demanding answers and telling him he's going to call the governor. He goes out to his car. He takes a few moments because he had shut off all his devices and stuff. So he sits in his car. He's turning on his devices. Things are powering up, getting ready to go. He's out in the public parking lot now. He's not in the prison. And he starts his car and he goes to leave and he's pulled over. And apparently it's a bullying tactic. They say, well, you need to leave. He said, well, I am leaving. You pulled me over. And then they go on to say, essentially that he wasn't leaving quick enough and he's getting off with a warning. Okay. So he leaves and he goes to a Hardee's. He's sitting in a Hardee's having a meal and a couple cruisers come and block in his car and they come in. So he obviously knows that they're there for him. He gets up, he walks over to him, kind of showing his hands because he doesn't want to be Winehoused. Right. And, he says, you know, what's the problem? And they arrest him. They arrest him. We'll be back after a few more words from our sponsors, RTR Truth Media, Resurrect the Republic Radio Show on RBN.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in... Visit to AROutfitting.com is an order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Breaking your backs, we're gonna redistribute when we make our paychecks. Hey!
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. RTR Truth Media, RTRTruthMedia.com, the Resurrect the Republic radio show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That's RepublicBroadcasting.org for all of you out there that are watching this premiere. You know, you guys, a lot of my new subscribers know me from YouTube and BitChute. They're not as familiar with RBN or the Republic Broadcasting Network, the radio show we do every Sunday. We're here live, and we will take your calls. This was a long presentation today, and so we didn't have really time to get to a call line. I apologize for that. But this situation here is, you know, if you look at the Jeff Winehouse case and you look at the Houston police situation, Thomas, I mean, are you familiar? Are you aware of that Houston police, the ones that lied to get the search warrant? Did you hear about that?
No.
Crazy, man. Crazy. The police lied.
I'm at the stage of trying to get people to understand the concept of a natural law militia. And
amen.
I have no faith whatsoever in statists anymore, especially people claiming to be public officers when, in fact, they're corporate officers and they're accountable to corporate boards, not the people. And they might give lip service to a constitution and their oath, but their job description and their orders are issued basically by people that are wiping their butts with those documents. They don't care. They have no intention of doing anything in the Constitution and consider that not even a road bump anymore. It used to be that the Constitution was given lip service and they threw us a bone every now and then to make it appear that the Constitutions were still in force and effect. But
yes.
I have discovered my own research that as of March 27th, 1861, the Constitution everybody thinks is in force and has been thinking is in force, has not been enforced. Lincoln set it aside along with the Northern Congress when they waged war against the Confederacy, and they didn't bother to bring it back. In 1871, they formally incorporated the federal government in the District of Columbia, and since that time, they have overlaid that corporation over every state and municipality with few exceptions over the entire republic. So everything is a for-profit corporation, not government.
Absolutely. And then came the 14th Amendment, which I keep running this clip so that people can understand it and they don't just hear it from me. But Professor Thomas Woods did a piece on this in a lecture where he said, you know, a couple of the states in the South, they had to kidnap representatives and forcefully make them be seated to ratify what has become the instrument of what I call absolute tyranny in America, which a lot of people, you know, it's propaganda that this 14th Amendment set us free, right? Well, we're going to, you know what, Thomas,
you and I and
Bruce Ray Riggs should probably do an episode on the 14th Amendment to show people what I'm talking about. But we've run out of time. Thomas, thank you for joining me. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much for joining me. And for those of you out there listening via live stream or radio, God bless all of you. We're with you. Keep up the fight.
Good day.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, So I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.